In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good afternoon. Today we have the Feast of Corpus Christi, and just a couple of things to announce this week. First is that we did have the mass, the funeral mass of Archbishop Michael Jarbo Sheehan. It went well, but continue to pray for his soul as he served our parish for, or rather our diocese for a good long time. And if you missed any of the services and you want to check in on them, I would highly recommend listening to the sermon of his funeral, which was preached by Bishop Strickland, one of the better bishops in the United States, as well as the funeral orations that had at the visual service the night below. Of note in particular is Monsignor Doug Rons, one of his dearest friends here within the diocese, speaking about him as well. All those would be worth your time and entertaining as well. We also have, at the conclusion of this Mass, we'll be having the Corpus Christi procession, and so we'll go directly from this Mass, just as we do on First Friday, in essence, of having that moment to pray before our Eucharistic Lord, and then we will process through the streets led by Roger and Fabian and others who will take us to various, how many of them are there? Five altars where we'll go and pray all around and be able to offer devout orison to our Eucharistic Lord. And if you could continue to pray for those men who were just ordained to the priesthood and to the diaconate. Today there were 19 or 18?
18.
18 priests, or rather deacons from our diocese who were ordained today in Santa Fe. Of note is especially Paul Benoit and
Eric Nelson.
I always forget his first name.
Madrid?
Oh, I didn't realize that. And Javier Madrid as well. Pray for those men who will be serving us here in this section of our diocese. Great joy for us today. And if you want to do something nice for Deacon Marvin on Friday, also Feast of the Sacred Heart, is his 16th anniversary of his ordination as well. So we'll look forward to celebrating that with you also. And before we enter into the sermon, I just have one little thing to share with you, and that is I got word this past week that I will be moving to Portland, the St. Stephen's in Portland, and so you'll have a new priest who will be here at the end of the month, Father Moses, and because of that, my last Sunday with you will happen to be next week because I'll be leading the kids to Steubenville at that time, and so we won't say anything more about that this week, but I will try to preach a different sermon every day, at every Mass this weekend to make up for time lost that we won't have. What does it say for us in the Scriptures? It says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass of Corpus Christi. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I want to speak to you today about two fires to begin with. And they'll run through a theme throughout the whole of this sermon. Two fires, and they're very different. One fire is a fire that comes from below, and the other is a fire that comes from above. There's a fire that burns and comes from below, and a fire that comes from above. Let's start with that fire that comes from below. It starts with strange ideas that occurs within our minds, and this fire lights the imagination so that it runs wild, it runs without restraint, and these flames fire the passions of our soul, leading us in all sorts of different directions instead of firing our heart in a beautiful way. These fires which come from below lead a person to live their lives in a fantasy world. Most of these things happen, most of the things on the streaming services, the internet, what they do is they delight merely our senses, but they lead our heart far from God, and so our heart is not lit aflame, but rather just our errant passions. And so that fire from below runs rampant within the soul, consuming all of our energy, consuming all of our time, so that we will end our lives in the same way in which we live within that fire from below, with a fever of the mind that ultimately leads to an eternal death, where that fire originated. But that's not the only fire that burns. There's a far greater fire that comes from above. We spoke about these things in the time of Pentecost. This is a fire that burns in the heart of somebody who seeks God and seeks his face. It fills a man with grace. It fills him with divine life. It fills him with a supernatural warmth that even emanates from his own soul. It gives him a desire to do God's will, plants within the soul a longing to come to Holy Mass, a delight to say one's prayers, knowing that this is an opportunity to really speak with God. It isn't a fire, isn't merely reserved for the Blessed Virgin Mary or for the apostles, as we spoke about weeks before that happened at Pentecost. It's something that you and I can have too. In fact, each and every Mass, we can eat fire. When you and I come to Mass, we have an opportunity to become fire eaters and have that fire burn within us continually. Yesterday was the feast of St. Ephrem. St. Ephrem, the great deacon of the Syrian, 4th century deacon, and he said this. He says, quote, "Christ called the bread of his living body, and he filled it with himself and his own spirit. He said, he who eats it with faith eats fire and spirit. He said, take and eat this, all of you. Eat it, with the Holy Ghost. For it is truly my body, and whoever eats it will have eternal life. He's saying here that if you eat this bread that comes down from heaven, you eat fire and you eat spirit. It comes to dwell within your soul. Later on, when he begins explaining what happens at the Mass and how much it's greater than what came before the Jewish Passover, he says this. He says, quote, henceforth, you will eat a clean, pure paschal bread kneaded and baked by the Holy Ghost. I have a wine to give you, says the Lord. Drink wine mingled with fire and with the spirit. That is the body and blood of God, who made himself a victim for all. You and I drink fire when we drink the blood of the Lord. What did this Mass do? What did it do for the person of our Lord Jesus Christ? Saint Ephrem also tells us the same thing, this great deacon of the church. He says, quote, all on fire with love, Jesus rose from the place where he was reclining to fulfill the mysteries and to bring the true paschal sacrifice to its perfection. He's speaking about what he did immediately after he celebrated the first Mass there in the upper room before he suffered and died. How did our Lord bring this true sacrifice to perfection, this gift that he gave? What he did to bring it to perfection, which means to completion, is he offered the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Our Lord Jesus offered his body to be broken, to be beaten, to be crucified. That's what brought his sacrifice to its perfection. In fact, one of the great doctors of the church, early Saint John Cassian, he tells us what occurs when you and I receive the Eucharist. Pay attention to this. This happens to you if you receive our Lord well. He says, quote, it burns. He says, it burns out, as it were, by a kind of fire, the spirit that occupies its members and that is trying to hide in them. And it flees. But the enemy will revile the one whom he is besieging, although more when he sees him cut off from the heavenly medicine. And the more he thinks he is removed from the spiritual remedy, the more fearlessly and the more frequently he will test him. Thus says St. John Cassian. That's what happens to you and I when we receive the Blessed Eucharist. The enemy flees from your and my soul when we receive it correctly, meaning that the evil one cannot afflict the soul who receives worthily and well the Most Holy Eucharist. The power of the Eucharist is evident within the soul, and I want to share with you a saint story about how that happened. It's so evident when you and I look at one of the great saints of the church, St. Peter of Rona, who lived in the 1200s. There was a man who was suffering from a delusion, thinking that the Blessed Virgin Mary was appearing. But it wasn't the Blessed Virgin Mary. She appeared to him in a dazzling light upon an altar of a heretic priest. There was a group of priests called the Albigensians who were going around spreading heresies about the church, leading souls away from Christ. And so this Albigensian, they were the ones who were filled with the fire that comes down from below that inflamed the passions to do evil. The apparition appeared. Our Blessed Lady seemed to appear to this man and said to him, my son, you're in error. You can see the truth is with us and not with those who are Catholics. I, who am the mother of Jesus, I tell you this now. Leave them and follow us. Because he saw this dazzling light, and this one who appeared to be like the Blessed Virgin, he became an Albigensian, left the true faith, became a heretic. And not long afterwards, he was found in a severe depression because he had left the faith of his youth. And so he called upon this particular holy man who he knew, St. Peter of Verona, to come and help him and to pray for him. He told him all about his story and how the Blessed Virgin Mary had spoken to him in that way. Peter of Verona, seeing through the ruse, said, tell that man who showed you the Blessed Virgin Mary, who summoned her and allowed her to appear upon that altar, tell the man who showed you the lady and that I too will join your sect if the Blessed Virgin Mary also appears to me. And so Peter of Verona, he spent the whole night in prayer, the whole day in fasting for this particular thing. And when he rose early in the morning after celebrating Mass himself, he took the sacred host to himself and carried it within a pyx. Carrying it within a pyx, he hid it under his garments there upon a rope that held the satchel where the Eucharist was close to his heart. And there he went out to meet the supposed apparition of Our Lady and the heretics who were saying she was appearing to them. And when he visited those heretic priests, a medium conjured this dazzling spirit of a lady, brought her forth, and she began speaking to Peter of Verona, reproaching him for his errors of holding to the Catholic faith. And then, after she had finished speaking, St. Peter took out this pyx from his chest like this, taking out the Blessed Eucharist that was inside and holding it above just like so, and said to them, if you are truly the Mother of God, bow down then and adore your Son. And as he did that, immediately she disappeared. And a cloud of black, dark smoke, leaving the whole place filled with a foul odor. That demon was appearing as though she was the Blessed Virgin Mary. That demon appeared before his Lord and his Master, Jesus Christ, in the Eucharist. And then, seeing the Lord there, the ruse was destroyed. Faith of this poor man deceived was finally restored. That fire from below was extinguished within his soul, and those who were around And the fire from above, again, reignited his soul in love of Christ. Later on, these heretics would claim their prize. They got their revenge upon Peter of Verona, who's always pictured with an axe through his head. There, he was murdered for his faith. St. Peter of Verona died a martyr in the year 1252 in the odor of sanctity. We can look at another saint, St. Anthony Marie Claret of not long ago. He was granted the grace of preserving a sacred host within his heart, really and actually. Every time he would receive Holy Communion, the host was preserved incorrupt within his heart, so that his heart would often glow with great light. He was always had the Blessed Sacrament hidden within his heart, and so that's why if you look at any image of him, his heart is always with a bright light over his heart. There he had it. He was basically a walking tabernacle. And seeing that this being the case, it wouldn't be a surprise for anybody that everything that he did was fired with an apostolic charity, an apostolic fire of preaching. He never tired, no matter how long he would go out within the various areas that he would go to preaching about the true faith. He worked countless miracles everywhere he went through Spain. His missions in Spain in the 19th century, which is the century before this one there, he preserved Spain from falling into heresy in an age where socialists, communists, and revolutionary men, Masons of all stripes, sought to destroy the church. They were on fire with that fire that comes down from below, trying to destroy that land which was built upon the faith of los Reyes Católicos, the Catholic kings. He was able to be successful because he devoutly received the Blessed Eucharist, honoring our Eucharistic Lord within his heart. Again, another saint, St. John of the Cross, once lit up after receiving Holy Communion. There was a certain man by the name of Domingo Sotomayor who was watching from a distance, seeing him as he would receive the Blessed Eucharist. And St. John of the Cross became so luminous, his face was so bright, and his whole aspect was changed with a heavenly fire that comes from above that penetrated deeply into his heart. Not only so much that he was transposed, but also Domingo was, just by looking at him. Also felt that same irresistible fire penetrate his heart as he saw this devout, holy doctor of the church receive the Eucharist. Domingo immediately felt the impulse to leave that very church that he was, flee immediately, to abandon all his attachments to the world, going directly to the Dominican monastery, which was not far from there, and entered into the Dominican house to be a priest. This is what's possible if you receive devoutly our Lord. If you recognize his presence, truly, really, and substantially presence within the Eucharist, something beautiful such as this not only can take place within your soul, but also have widespread effect just by a devout reception of the Holy Eucharist. In fact, St. Thomas Aquinas, this great doctor of the church, the one who wrote all the prayers that we pray from the altar here during this Mass, he says of the Holy Eucharist this, quote, "In the sacrament, sins are purged away. In the sacrament, virtues are increased. In the sacrament, the soul is satiated, satisfied with an abundance of every spiritual gift." End quotation. You remember St. Ephrem. We began speaking about him. He said that the one who eats the Eucharist, the one who consumes the body and blood, the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist with faith, he eats fire. He himself eats spirit. When you and I receive the Blessed Sacrament with a lively faith, with a devout soul, the flames of love are kindled, and the devil flees from you and I, never to terrorize us anymore. But if it's received with mortal sin, that is to say, without making a good, integral confession, actually laying your soul bare before the Lord in the sacrament to the priest, if one doesn't confess all their mortal sins with a true sorrow and a firm purpose of amendment, what happens is the opposite, is that the devil delights that the sinner is still cut off from God, cut off from those heavenly flames which are there, and the enemy can now enkindle his own fires that come from below to secure that soul for eternal destruction. This is why we warn so often from this pulpit about not receiving Holy Communion without a full sacramental confession, because that kind of sacrilege will damn the soul and destroy one's faith. So do what? Receive Holy Communion with faith. Receive it with charity alive within your minds and within your hearts. Go to confession, and all these graces can be yours today. This is not just something meant for the lives of the saints or for those who find themselves on holy cards. If you live in the state of grace, you too can eat fire that comes down from above. Don't neglect this divine fire, but beg God to burn more and more within your soul. He will enable you to love the God who loves, and to hate and despise and to reject everything that God rejects. We'll close with a preparation prayer for the Feast of the Sacred Heart this Friday, an offering to the Sacred Heart. My loving Savior, consume my heart in that burning love which your own heart is inflamed. Pour out upon me those graces which flow from your love. Let my heart be so united with yours that our wills may be one, and my will may in all things be conformed with your will. May your will guide and rule all my desires and direct all of my actions. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.